We are doing Megillah. We're up to the beginning of the fourth chapter, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Bnei Ha'ir Shemachu Rechova Shel Ir. The city folk who sold the square of the city, the main road of the city. Lokhim Medamav Bet HaKnesset. So they used the money to buy a shul. Bet HaKnesset, if they sold a shul, Lokhim Teva. They used the money to buy an ark. Notice we're working our way up in holiness. The Mishnah revolves around the concept of Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'en Moridin. We have two halachos. One halacha says, wherever you can, you work your way up in holiness. Another halacha says, at least don't go downward. Teivav, they sold the ark, lokhin nitpachot. They buy the scarves that are used for the Sefer Torah itself. Nitpachot ikhus svarim. If they sold the scarves, they should use the money to buy books. Sifarim, if they sold books of Tanakh. Remember in Chazal's time, the books were written on parchment, and the scribe had in mind to give it that holiness, so they had a very high level of holiness. Lokechin Torah. They used the money to buy a Sefer Torah. That's higher holiness. Aval, but, just a second, imachu Torah, if they sold the Torah scroll, lo yikhu svarim, they should not use the money. They shouldn't move the money down a notch and use the money to buy other books of Torah or other books of Tanakh. Sifarim, if they sold other works of Tanakh, they don't work their way down. They don't buy with that money. Scarves, nitpachot, if they sold scarves, they don't use the money to buy an ark. Teva, loikhu bet knesset, if they sold an ark, they don't use the money to buy a shul. Bet knesset, loikhu tachovn, if they sold a shul, they don't buy a square. Vechen bemotrehem, and this applies to the leftovers as well. If they use some of the money to buy a Sefer Torah, now they have leftover money after they sold their books, they should not go down in holiness with the leftover money. Yes, sir. Good question. Let's wait and see.
No, I wait. It's my actual question was, did you say if they sell a Sefer Torah, they can use the money to buy a new Sefer Torah?
No, I did not say that.
Because I misheard what you said. That's why I was...
Said if they sold a Sefer Torah, they should not
buy a scarf.
Buy other books other with that money.
What other if books they're a holy Tanakh book? What if it's like...
We're talking about books of Tanakh.
Oh, so if you buy a Torah, you can't buy Nach with the Torah money.
Correct.
But if you sell Nach, you can buy a Torah.
Correct. That's what the Mishnah said.
What does this mean, scarves? It's like Sephardim, do they have...
I'm not sure if it means that or it means the actual, like, the Ashkenazi cover of the Torah itself.
Sefer Torah, that's impressive.
Wait, you don't mean like a scarf, just like a...
No, it was whatever they used to wrap the Sefer Torah. Now, did you guys notice the first two words of the Mishnah? Right. No, guys, let's wake up.
Residents of the town.
Oh, who's doing the sale here? Who has a right to sell the city square? You know, they're selling the city square. Bnei Yair Shemachru. The people of the city choose to sell the city square. And who exactly are the people of the city? Who's entitled to do that? Who's entitled to give over Gush Katif, right? Who can sell this?
Me.
You, okay. Gemara, Bnei Yair. So selling it is different than giving it to non-Jewish sovereignty. You know, it's two different things. The comparison between selling the city square from being a place of public worship to selling it to non-Jews is not really a fair comparison. Comparing it to Gush Katif, that's giving it to another nation. It's a totally different parsha. Okay, and anyways, this could be talking in Chutz Lartz as well. Okay, so let's take a step back.
Wait, what if it's something that is not a special? Like, okay, a Jew owns something. Let's say you're a bad Jew. You own a gambling casino. Then
so that's a step back I was about to take. Let's take a step back. What are we talking about here? We're talking about things that have holiness.
So where
does holiness come from? Why does one thing have holiness and another thing not? Meaning that's what Simcha's alluding to. What about the casino that he owns? You know, he shouldn't own the casino. Is that holy? Probably not, right? So we have a shul here. You guys, any of you here on Yom Kippur? So you know that it overflows into that hole and into that hole, and on every Friday night it overflows into that hole back there. Halacha says that the holes that the shul overflows into have holiness, because the shul overflows into there. So let's take another step back. But why does the shul have holiness? Who said what holiness is there in the shul? Is it because of the Arna Kodesh? So if I don't have an Arna Kodesh, the shul doesn't have holiness? And where do we get this concept from, that a shul has holiness with Arna Kodesh? What about the Temple Mount? Let's get really sacrilegious here.
Rav Moshe Tundler says that holiness of Kedusha because we are in there.
Because of what takes place.
So this really needs work. What?
The reason that like Korah Bayit,
I'd rather not answer
Adam
the question.
Created, like Adam was made there, the binding took place there.
So let's discern. Simcha is bringing up an important point, meaning the Temple Mount happens to be a complicated example, because like Simcha is correctly pointing out, the Temple Mount seems to have intrinsic holiness irrespective of our being there. Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to say that. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say, and that's why I didn't want to go this far, I wanted to leave you guys thinking, but Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say that just like a shul's holiness stems from the Torah in the shul, he wanted to say, according to the Rambam, the same thing applies to the Temple Mount, because he was bothered by a difficult Rambam. There's a discussion in the Gemara, what happened to the Aron? The Gemara discusses what happened towards the later part of the first temple. Long before the destruction, along comes a king Yoshio and takes the Aron and does something with it. And it's a machlokas, what happened with the Aron, the holy Aron that had the Luchos inside. What happened with it is a machlokas in the Gemara. And the Rambam in his Halachos, in describing the laws of how you build the Beis HaMikdash, suddenly takes a stance on a historical occurrence. He says, and Yoshio took it, and he had these secret vaults at the bottom of the temple, and he stored the Aron over there. So Rav Soloveitchik was bothered. Why does the Rambam take a stance on a historical question? It's a machlokas in the Gemara. And so Rav Soloveitchik developed this whole thought. It took him about 3 hours, a long speech. And he wanted to show how all holiness stems from Torah. Even in the human being, he wanted to say, why is a human being holy? Because he is a tashmishei kedusha. He is a vessel for the use of holiness of learning Torah.
The late
Rav Soloveitchik. Yeah, the late Rav Yosher Soloveitchik. So,
but there was holiness before Torah.
So that's the question. That's where there are sources in Jewish thought for what you're saying, Simcha. You're right. That the Temple Mount was the holiest place from the beginning of creation. But from our perspective and our halacha, the holiness stems from the Torah that's there. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that's why the Rambam took a stance. He said, well, why was the temple holy? The end of the first temple, second temple, where's the Aron? So he said, in order to retain its holiness, that's what we have to say, the Aron was buried deep down in a vault. That's where it retained its holiness. So obviously this needs a lot of work. I'm just saying we're entering a sugiyah, we're entering a subject matter here that discusses levels of holiness.
What about Shabbat? Just things that God chose, the Amoya to be that place, to be a specific place of His temple. So same thing as Shabbat. Shabbat is written that God sanctified the seventh day.
So again, you're saying like Simcha, that there's holiness that comes from above, that has nothing to do with us. Okay, but the problem with that is that Chazal do say, there's a Mishnah in Shavuos that says that there was a procession that Yeshua did when he entered the land of Israel to impart holiness, and that was done later to impart holiness on the land of Israel. So again, Rav Soloveitchik was hard pressed. He said, how did Eretz Yisrael have holiness? So everyone said, what do you mean? Eretz Yisrael is holy. He said, no. Who conquered the land of Israel? So everyone said, Yeshua and Israel. Wrong, said Rav Soloveitchik. The Navi specifically says, the Aron conquered the land of Israel. Why does the Aron have to conquer the land of Israel? Why does the Navi describe it as the Aron? Because it has to have that holiness. So what's going to give the holiness? The Aron Abris. So again, he developed this whole theme. I mean, we're taking a 3-hour shiur and we're compressing it into 2 minutes. Just saying, he worked out this whole thing that all holiness stems from Torah. Okay, look, I'm just saying, as we approach the sugya, we have to understand that the most basic point of the sugya is something that's unclear. And let's look through the sugya as we learn it. Let's look for clues as to where does holiness come from? Yes, Simcha.
But see, it's not always necessarily us. The first place made was Harbayat, right? The very first inauguration, okay? And then things happen there, like the binding. Okay, Avram takes his son there, he's going to bind it. That the actions that took place there before there was even Torah, that's what made it holy.
Who said? Who said?
Well, I've read this, I mean, I can't remember a source of hand.
The burden of proof is on you.
Okay, I mean, is this an idea?
You can say what you want. I'm not saying you're making it up, but prove it. You know, I'm bringing you sources.
Right.
Okay, so you bring me sources. Yes.
He's basing it on the Rambam's historical.
It's not only basing it, it's a whole long share.
So, relating to this point, so he's saying that if physically the Aaron wasn't there, there wouldn't be Kedusha. So, according to the understanding, the Torah has to physically be there.
Right.
So
he held that it was a mistake that people wanted to make a minyan in their... They designate an office, and that's their shul. You have a building, everyone works there. They designate one office, and that's the shul. He said, well, in order for it to have the Kedushas basic Neses, you have to have an Aron HaKodesh there. That's what he held, yeah.
But the Midrash has no Sefer Torah.
Right, he held that it didn't have the same level of Kedusha, right?
But this is the big difference between us and Christianity. They just build a church, they say, this place is holy now just because I built a church. We say, look at what happened. We have all these great things happen here, and that makes it holy. We could, like, I could just build something somewhere and go, it's holy, but that doesn't really make it holy.
Okay, so as we learn, we're going to have to explore. We're out of time. We're going to have to...